Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and maybe you're joining us for the first time, and so you don't know that we're in the midst of a series called Seven Pictures of God's People that Derek has been teaching us, all about the images in the scriptures that define who we are. And today, having done the introduction yesterday, today he's going to give us picture one and picture two. So you haven't really missed very much. You can log on to the website at derekprince.org to hear yesterday's teaching, and of course, now you're here for today's teaching. Now, before we get to the teaching today, I want to tell you about a free gift just for you. It's called the Prayer Orchestra, and it's a CD of Derek teaching on the different kinds of prayer that we can pray in the circumstances of our lives. Now, if you'd like this CD, you can call us at 1-800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. Well, let's get right to it. I'm eager to hear about these first two pictures as Derek teaches us seven pictures of God's people.
Each one of these pictures is taken from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. The first picture is found in Ephesians 1, verse 22, which says this, "And God placed all things under his feet," that's the feet of Jesus, "and appointed him," Jesus, "to be head over everything for the church." That's the first picture, the church. But we need to understand the root meaning of the word that's translated church. In Greek, the word is ecclesia, from which we get such English words as ecclesiastic and so on. Now, that Greek word has a specific derivation and a specific application. There's no mystery about it. The noun ecclesia, church, is derived from a verb which means to call out. So the root concept is a group of people formed by calling them out from a larger group of people. A group of people called out for a special purpose. And that, of course, applies to God's people, the church. We are called out of this world through faith in Jesus Christ for a special purpose of God. In the contemporary secular Greek of New Testament times, this word ecclesia had a very specific recognized meaning. It meant a governmental assembly. So the real plain root meaning of that word that we habitually call church is very clear. It means a legal or a governmental assembly. And so throughout the rest of my talks, rather than use the word church, of which the meaning has been obliterated by misuse on many occasions, I'm going to stick to the word assembly. That's the first picture of God's people. It's the assembly, the governmental assembly. Now, in Scripture, there is a title, a particular name, that's regularly used for the assembly of God's people when they meet in divine order. And that name is Zion. And I want to read to you now something that the Scripture says in Hebrews 12 about Zion and our relationship as believers to Zion. This is what the writer says. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." First of all, I want you to notice that this is not future. The writer doesn't say, you are soon going to come. He says, you have already come. Not physically, of course, But spiritually, we are already part of that total governmental assembly of God which governs this universe. And although part of it is in heaven and part of it is on earth, we're all one assembly. Included in that assembly are thousands and thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Another, I think better translation says, in festal array. It's a very dignified, glorious, solemn assembly. I spent a number of years in the military, not by my own choice, and I always remember what happened when we had a commanding officer's parade. Everybody had to polish all the pieces of brass and their boots and stand to attention, and there was usually a band, and everything was particularly smart and official and dignified, and there was a sense of authority. Well, in a much greater measure, that's the picture here of Zion. And we're part of it. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we're a part of the great governmental assembly that governs this whole universe. And the head of that assembly, under God the Father, is Jesus Christ. Specifically, we as the church, God's people, the assembly, are the representatives of God's authority in the earth. It's God's purpose to govern the earth through his people, through his assembly. I want to give you one picture of how God governs the earth through his people, the assembly, the church. It's found in Psalm 110. The first two verses go like this. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. The Lord will stretch forth thy strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of thine enemies. That's what Jesus is doing now. We need to see that. Jesus is not going to rule at some future date. He is ruling now. He's already on the throne. He's waiting till all his enemies have been brought under his feet. But the instrument of his authority on earth at this time is his assembly, his redeemed people, the church. And out of that assembly of God's people, met in divine order, the Holy Spirit, through prayer, through the ministry of the Word, through the gifts of the Spirit, extends the scepter of Christ's authority over the nations and kings and rulers of this earth. Now, as we close, I want to give you a twofold application, which I'll do with each picture from now on. I want to point out what is the essential feature of this picture, and I also want to point out what is required of us as part of God's people in this picture. Now, the first picture is the governmental assembly. What's the essential feature? Well, my answer would be governmental authority. That's the main thing that's set forth in this picture, the governmental authority of God in his people. What's required of us? My answer would be respect for God's order. And my comment is we cannot govern others if we cannot govern ourselves. That's the application. I remember some years ago looking at a television presentation of the national convention of one of the two major political parties. And I seldom seen of greater disorder. Nobody paid any attention to the chairman or the MC. The chairman said, please be silent, and everybody went on talking. It was total disarray, complete disrespect for authority. And I thought to myself, those people certainly cannot be fit to govern this nation. They can't even govern themselves. Well, it's possible that critics could say that of God's people. We cannot be fit to govern the world until we've learnt to govern ourselves.
I love the fact that the first picture we're presented is a picture of where we fit, of where we're in rank and part of a governmental body. Because, you know, many people believe that when they are redeemed in Jesus, they're just redeemed to be free and apart from any connection to other human beings. The fact is that we are in a governmental body. We're in a body of people that has rank and order. There's so much more great stuff like this to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in His kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. And if you are just joining us for the first time, we're in a series called Seven Pictures of God's People. You haven't missed much. You can log on to the website at derekprince.org to catch up with us. But now that you're with us, Derek is going to be teaching the second in a series of seven pictures of God's people. Let's listen.
We're going to look at the second picture, which is found in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him, Jesus, to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. So there's the second picture, the second title, His body, the body of Christ. That's how we are collectively in this world. First, we're the assembly. Second, we're the body of Christ. Now, we need to ask ourselves, what does that indicate? What does that teach us about our functions, our responsibilities? What is the purpose of a body, very simply? I would say, in very simple terms, the purpose of a body is to get things done in a time-space world. To relate to a time-space world. That's how we relate to this world through our body. And that's what I believe the purpose of God for the body of Christ is. It's the way Christ relates to this time-space world. He relates through His body. We, His body, are the instrument by which He works out His redemptive purposes in this world. He depends on us to get His will done in this world. Let me show you a passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, which speaks specifically about the body of Christ. It's based on a quotation from one of the Psalms, but we won't go into that. We'll just try to bring out the main point for our purposes just now. This is what it says. Therefore, when He comes into the world, and this is describing Jesus coming into the world as Savior, when He comes into the world, He says, sacrifice an offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. This pictures Jesus coming as the Savior, not to introduce the law which had already been introduced by Moses, but to save as the sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, He had to have a body to provide a sacrifice. Then it goes on, in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, this is the Lord speaking, Jesus, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Let me put together those two phrases. A body thou hast prepared for me, to do thy will, O God. What does that tell us about the function of a body? The body is the instrument to do the will. So, we have Christ's body in two aspects there. First of all, it's the physical body of Jesus Himself that became the sacrifice for our sins on the cross. But secondly, beyond that, it's the collective body, God's people collectively, that continues and completes His ministry on the earth, still doing God's will in the earth. The Scripture, the New Testament, has a number of pictures of us as the body of Christ. I'll just give you two. The first is from Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's the essence. In Christ, we who are many form one body, many individuals, one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We're not a group of separated, isolated individuals. We belong to one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 21, Paul amplifies this picture and makes it very vivid. I'm going to read that whole passage. Remember, it's speaking about the body of Christ. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. What's the word that's emphasized there? It's the word one, isn't it? They form one body. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. The emphasis throughout is the unity of the body. Then Paul goes on, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You see, God's sovereign control over the body. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Notice that repeated, continuing emphasis, one body. And then a very practical application. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We cannot say to one another as believers, I can get on without you.
You know, when we hear about the fact that there are pictures in the Bible of who we really are, most of us probably expect that these pictures will be images of us as individuals. And I love the fact that right here as the second of these seven pictures, Derek is teaching us that we are not just standing alone, but we are part of a body. We are connected to a community. We belong somewhere. And that defines who we are almost as much as anything else. Now, Derek's going to come back to finish up this series in just a moment as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in his kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are in a wonderful teaching that is all about us fulfilling our destiny. It's called Seven Pictures of God's People. Derek's going to teach us now. Let's listen.
We cannot say to one another as believers, I can get on without you. It doesn't matter what happens to you. I'm all right. That's not permissible. It just isn't correct. The eye, though it's such a wonderful, refined, delicate instrument with more than 3 million moving working parts, cannot say to that rather prosaic member, the hand, I don't need you. Even more remarkable, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The head is right at the top. The feet are right at the bottom. They're separated by the whole length of the body. And yet the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And in a certain sense, the head typifies Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? That Jesus cannot say to the lowest part of the body, I don't need you. You see, he needs us. We're his body. We're the instrument that he uses to get things done in this time-space world. So we are the body of Christ, one body, many members, one body. So let's consider now our twofold application as we're doing for each of these pictures. The first question, what is the essential feature that this picture teaches? Secondly, very practically, what is required of us? Well, what is the essential feature of the body of Christ? What does it tell us about God's purpose, about our function? I believe I've said it already, but I need to emphasize it. As the body of Christ, we're the agent of Christ's will to get his purposes done in this world. He depends on us. He, the head, cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. What is required of us? I think I can say it this way. We've got to recognize that we're all different, but we're all independent. We're not all one member. We're not all a nose or an ear or an eye. We've got many different locations, many different functions, many different characteristics, but we're independent. I cannot emphasize that too strongly. It seems to me the primary emphasis of the Holy Spirit to God's people today is we've got to give up our aggressive individualism, our wrong attitude to our fellow believers. I don't need you. It doesn't matter what happens to you. I'm all right. We can't do that. None of us can say to any of the others, I don't need you. We all need one another. And God's purposes will not be complete until the body is complete, until all the members are united together, till every part is doing its job, and the body is growing together in health and to the glory of God.
You know, as I said as I introduced this series, we think in pictures. When I say the word dog, you don't think the letters D-O-G. You think the image of a dog, your dog, Lassie on TV, someone else. I want to pray with you for just a moment that these images that we're being taught about in this marvelous series will be burned into our minds, because we really do want to be a people who look into the mirror of God's Word and don't forget what we look like so that we can fulfill the destiny that God's called us to. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray very simply today that the Spirit of the Lord will hover over these images, and not just these two, but all the seven that we're going to learn in this week. We'll burn them into our minds. We'll fill them with meaning in our souls so that we can take hold of them in essence and live them out to your glory. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now listen, we've got a gift for you that I want to tell you about that's again part of this effort of Derek Prince Ministries to get the Word of God into your life. It's a teaching CD called The Prayer Orchestra. Derek teaches about all the varieties of prayer that are described in the Scriptures and then describes how we can pray each one of these prayers depending on the circumstances of our lives. You're going to want this. This is powerful. You can get it by logging on to DerekPrince.org, our website, or you can call us at 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. We are about getting the Word of God into your life. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a few moments to order your free CD of Derek's insightful audio message, The Prayer Orchestra. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.